Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are. This is Caribbean Global Voices, your Saturday morning entertainment show. Your host for today, Cardinal Mills, alongside Maurice Nisbet. And the Lord. Okay.
You guys hearing me now?
Cardinal. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead. Go straight into it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you guys got me on
go
the line.
Go straight into it, you're on live. Go straight. Go.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. This is the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show brought to you by Caribbean Global Voices. This morning, I'm taking the reins over from your usual host, Mr. Ivor Henry, who's on assignment in other places. It's not a matter that he doesn't want to talk to you, but, you know, he got pressing engagement. So let me bring my shoes in, put shoes at the side, because I can't feel those big shoes of a little man. And I'm going to do as much as instruction and bring my own shoes to the party. I think I can dance better that way. And I've been told, Barbara told me that, yeah, I dance better. So, as usual, we're going to start off the inspirational portion of the morning. And I'm hoping that we can do it as succinctly, as gratifying as you have always gotten it. Okay, so we're going to start the morning off with a little music that would inspire you, maybe a few words that would inspire you, but whatever it is, going to be inspirational. Let me say good morning to the Inspirational Hour most favorite fan, Kathleen. Good morning to you. So let's start off with one of those familiar voices, something that you would like to hear. Okay, and here's Aaron.
What a friend we had in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God and pray.
Lord, in prayer.
Can you find Oh, yes, he does. Take it to the Lord. To the Lord in prayer. Come back with the Lord. Okay. Take it
to the Lord
in prayer.
Yes, good morning. The soulful voice of Aaron Neville. That in itself is inspirational, no matter what he sings. And let me say good morning to Barbara. I'm hoping that you're having a great day today. And we hope to hear you sometime during the course of this broadcast. I'm going to bring you something else from Pat Ross. You know, those of you who are listening in from St. Kitts would be familiar with Pat Ross. Well, she got some gospel music to offer as well. Here you go.
There's a mansion worth winning in a great promised land. Many doubters are great.
Good morning. And let me say good morning to Mertris, one of the special friends of this hour. Good morning, Mertris.
Good morning, Misty. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well. And how are you? How's the weather in New York? And, you know, what are we looking at for today?
Well, today it's 54 degrees. I think it's going up to about 60, if not 59. So it's on the chilly side, but it's not too bad. It's the wind is not too high, so that's more comfortable.
I got up this. I'm sorry.
Should be the best day for the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All of it has been much cooler?
Yes, it's cold.
Okay. And surprisingly, we are still going very hot here in the Caribbean. I was given a pleasant surprise when I went out. Yeah, we've got the heat. So I got to start offering the listeners up in New York and those cool places a little package of warmth here, right here on the Saturday morning entertainment show. Just call us in. We've got that warmth for you. I was a little pleasantly surprised this morning when I got outside and I realized, you know, we had some dew on the grass and it was a little cooler than has been the usual. Usually this is the time of the year when that happens. But we are right into October and it has not begun to happen yet. The nights, even though the days are hot, the nights, the afternoons, the nights would be getting a little cooler. And, you know, if it has been cold, as you're saying, in the North Continent, usually we get the kind of drift off from that. But we have not been getting it so far this year. Still extremely hot. And saying that, it's beginning to warm up already. But, you know, we hope we can keep people looking on the brighter side of things, hot or cold. And what the inspiration hour is really designed to do is to have you enjoy it all. In the midst of it, you can and will, I'm sure, remain calm. Now, I'm going to offer you something from B.B. Winans. It's Winans,
okay,
yes. B.B. Yeah.
If you clap loud enough, he may sing just a few, just a little bit. Let's get him while we got him, all right? This is a song I should have got. Y'all would help him sing it tonight. Anyone know there's nobody greater than the Lord? South Africa, I love you so much. Come on, lift your sound. Better than that, better than that, better than that.
I climbed up to the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you.
Did you search all over, baby?
Should I search all over? Couldn't find nobody. Nobody's great. Nobody greater than you.
And this is my favorite part.
Hour, a big hit with many of our fans. And then coming up at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock, we'll have David in to give us something of sports And then at 10:45, we're going to have you hear two ladies, Dawn and Debbie, who are doing a magnificent job of what we call healing the world, starting in the little place of Little Antigua. They've got their Antigua and Barbuda care, where they're providing assistance to the most destitute people, and they are going to request your assistance in their efforts. We appreciate their thoughts. Then we'll probably have a little conversation and commentary as the show goes on. So for the fans of the inspirational portion, enjoy this moment and stick around to hear all of the other tidbits that we've got to offer here on the Saturday morning entertainment show. Now, we know that, you know, religion and gospel music means a lot to a lot of people, and it comes these days in various different forms. I should say various different types or cultural expressions. The music changes from one person to the next, from one artist to the next, and we're hoping that we can have you enjoy it all, because whichever way it comes, I'm sure that it is always inspiring. Here's Carlin Davis, a different kind of beat.
Praising God, oh, why?
as I was saying earlier, you know, we grew up knowing gospel music or the music that Christians generally adhere to in a kind of a solemn way. But then it was brought around to the point where it was given different little flavors. Hear Colin Davis singing Praising God with a different kind of reggae touch to it. And it's been like that for some time. It spices things up. Mortis, which type of, I don't know what to call it, a genre, which type of music do you prefer for these religious renderings? Or what you say, gospel renderings? You got any preference?
Yes, I do like the old time gospel.
Okay, like?
Like Jim Reeves, like, what's her name? Shirley Caesar.
Uh-huh.
And for the modern, I like The Chain, Fill My Cup. All those from, yes, those are
like,
good. And
but you like it with, you know, the which type of music, which flavor of music, the traditional or the, I know sometimes it's all nostalgic, I guess, the traditional, because, you know, people like Joseph Niles highly embraced and appreciated in the world of gospel music, but they brought a different kind of flavor to it, and people were excited about that too, you know. So, but I'm sure that different people would have their different preferences, even though you might like all of it, you know. Different people might have their different preferences.
I like the, you know, traditional mostly,
you
but
like the
mix-up is okay, like the calypso gospel. At first, I didn't like those, but I, you know, some, most of the way how they bring it over now, it's good. It's okay for me. I don't mind.
You don't mind.
Yeah.
So you enjoy Colin Davis Praising God as you would
like
enjoy
this one,
some,
like this one, like this one that you just played.
Uh-huh.
When you started out, when I first heard it, I was like, what? And then when I listen to the lyrics, it's like, oh, that's all I could have said, oh.
Oh, okay.
So I see the third, they use the music and the lyrics, they put in the gospel lyrics, they turn around some of the words. So I said, okay.
You can enjoy that too. Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jim Reeves. Let me get you a little nostalgia, and I know a lot of people, especially those of us who grew up with our grandmothers, are going to get enjoy this as well.
Yeah, some of those are okay. Really,
when my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my word is all done and my race race here is run. Let me see by the light thou hast shone. That fair city so bright, where the lamp is the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I'm weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
That is the traditional that brings people a lot of nostalgia. Now, to talk about, to emphasize what I was talking about, we're going to do something of the new era. And I'm sure you would like that too. Okay. Check this one out.
Walking up the King's Highway. Walking up the King's Highway. Walking up the King's Highway, there is joy in knowing where I am going. Walking up the King's Highway.
That is the contrast we're talking about. You remember when Joseph Niles first came up, Motris? Long time
maybe.
Ago, right?
I was a little baby then.
You were a little baby. But the first time you heard it, what was your response to it? that kind of music. Do you remember?
Well, it was good for me because I was,
it was,
you know, behind the radio, listening to the radio and jamming and singing. So I might get to know the tune. It was good for me. Mm-hmm.
Well,
sing
you
along.
Know that it, do you know that I'm old enough to remember when it actually showed first showed up on the scene? Do you know that a lot of people were very uncomfortable with it?
Why?
Do you realize that?
I didn't know.
Why
no.
do you think? Because, you know,
because
most of
they couldn't stand the truth of the gospel.
No.
I don't know why they would have. Maybe.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it's those tunes. Those tunes were not comfortable in their category of music genre.
Right. And so people were pretty uncomfortable with it at first until, you know, for some reason it became acceptable. But the reason for that is both historical and cultural. You know, most of what we know as gospel music is associated with the celebration of Christianity. And Christianity, as a matter of fact, is the only religion with which the religion with which I am most familiar. Now, Christianity came out as projecting what was called the Puritan type of celebration. It did not have any excitement to it. It was supposed to be solemn in the presence of God. And so the music reflected that. But
I see what you're talking about now.
Right. It's a cultural thing. So, but black people became invested with Christianity and they said, no, we want our culture and our cultural expression and our music in this, in when we celebrate. When we celebrate with the drums and the music and the dancing. So they throw a little bit of spice into it. And that made people uncomfortable. So when Joseph Niles threw his calypso beat into what was supposed to be a solemn celebration of God, you know, people become a little bit uncomfortable and a little upset at that. But, you know, few years later, it was embraced and became acceptable. You didn't, if you were a Christian growing up in the era where I grew up, you didn't sing calypso or you didn't sing anything with a calypso beat, including gospel music. That is the essence of it. So, but
and
has
how
become,
dare you put gospel music into calypso, turn it into
exactly.
calypso back in the
how dare you put calypso into gospel music? So,
what we used to call calypso back then?
They used to call it
Quelbe. Quelbe.
And you couldn't sing it. You couldn't sing it on Sundays, and you couldn't sing it.
No.
One of the other things that came into being after a while, you know, the steel pan.
Mm-hmm.
The steel pan was considered to be an unholy instrument. Because it was associated with carnival and calypso.
Yeah.
But later on, this steel pan was centered into the church and its music. But it took a little bit of a challenge among the people who were invested in a different culture and couldn't find it possible to embrace their own. So let me bring you something else that tells that another story.
And do you know
hold on.
I'm
Murchis, I cut you off before you made your last comment. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, go on.
That's okay. What I was trying to say is that after a while, the young people weren't going to church. And so one of the things that they did in order to get the young folks come back to church was changing up of the music. So they put more beat into the songs. Because, you know, they were saying those make them sleepy or those too dead.
Okay.
Gospel. So they had to do some changes. And then that's why they started with drums and singing instruments in the churches. Most churches wasn't accepting, but, you know, the new churches that grew up later on, like the Pentecostal and stuff, they brought the instruments into attack. Entice the youth.
So actually, that's part of the inspiration. No wonder it's part of the inspiration, although at least, and we can think. We got another caller in here. Let me bring the person in. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Cardinal. Good morning, Merchant.
Oh, good morning, Leon.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you guys
doing?
John, you
good.
I'm okay. John late, but better late than never. Wonderful show so far.
Of course.
If you're here now.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for everything. I've been listening.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
So you neck
yes.
of the woods.
Oh, up here it's fine. 61 degrees. Not too bad. Could be worse.
Okay, good. We have sunshine.
Yeah, and how about you?
We have sunshine here, but no, the
Cardinal.
The chill is inside here too.
Sunshine in New York.
It's a whole different.
In the Virgin Islands.
You.
Well, the Virgin Islands are right now. They're pretty cool compared to the last couple of days. I was indicating to Murchus and the fans this morning. I got outside earlier this morning and realized that there was some dew on the grass and the atmosphere was much cooler. But, you know, it's usually that way at this time of year. Unfortunately, we didn't have that experience up until, you know, maybe last night. The days are extremely hot. The nights are still extremely hot. The mornings are still extremely hot. So this morning, you know, it looked like we had a little bit of cooler weather. As there was some dew around, so we're beginning to enjoy that. Usually when the northern continent gets cooler, they share that cool with us in one form or another. But
yeah,
it didn't seem to happen as early this year, you know, but I hope that continues and we have cooler days in the future days to come up. Yes, if I knew that Murchus was willing to get up this early, I would have brought Murchus in to be my co-host for the morning. I know the fans miss
her
voice. I know the fans really miss her voice.
Can you get Murchus up early? Is that what you're saying?
No.
You take some miracles to get
like,
up early?
Murchus like to stay in bed. Murchus likes to stay in bed and enjoy the show until she can get up and dance while she do her artwork. So I didn't know I could get up early. I wonder who made the mischief of getting Murchus out of her bed this early. So I...
You did. You played some awesome songs, so that's what happened.
Thank you.
Wake her up.
Yes, it's called the Inspirational Hour.
I'm listening.
And I'm sure and hope, you know, I'm hoping that our friends would be inspired by what we present. Good morning to all the fans, friends, and supporters of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. We have with us Leon and Murchus enjoying the show with us, and we hope that all our fans are doing the same thing. It's for your enjoyment. It's for your entertainment. It's for your inspiration, Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. Let's go back to some of the traditional. Yes. It's about 4 minutes to the end of the inspirational hour, and we hope that we have been, you know, appealing and satisfactory to our fans who have a special investment in the inspirational hour. It gets to get them out of bed like it did to Murchis this morning and get them going. In a few minutes, we'll be expecting David. David is going to bring you sports in briefs. And if you want to hear the sports in long pants, you've got to go to the cricket show tomorrow, which comes your way at 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. But we're expecting David to bring us this morning our sports in briefs. Until we get here, let me give you something of the sound of the lady that I like, the sound of her voice. One more. Linda Randall. Yeah. With that said, we're going to say so long to the Inspirational Hour for October 22nd, 2022. And we hope that we have played you the kind of music and the kind of words that will take you, inspire you and take you throughout this weekend and throughout the next week when we're going to meet again and do the same thing for a recap, or should we say a reinforcement. We're expecting David with the sports in brief, as I indicated earlier. And Leon, I understand that the West Indies are not doing so well. I should say doing terribly. And I had to reflect on what Dennis might be saying, because I know in one tournament, Dennis wanted to send the whole team home and have another team come in to finish the tournament, because their initial performance was so terrible.
Terrible.
So, I mean, I am wondering what to think. In any event, Mertris insists that we should continue to rally around the West Indies. Okay. You've got a call. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
954-483. Okay.
Morning, partner.
Morning, David. Leon is with us. Mertris is with us. And we know that we're going to hear sports in brief from you. And Mertris was wondering if you would be able to wake up this morning because of the performance of the West Indies yesterday. So I said, I'm sure David is going to be here, because Mertris is insisting that we continue to rally around the West Indies. Leon is also here, and so you can, Ivor is on and listening, but he cannot attend. So you can say your good morning, David. Come on in.
Good morning, Cardinal. Good morning, Mertris. Good morning, Leon. Good morning, Lynette. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning.
Hardly.
Good Dennis. Morning.
Good morning, David.
Everyone who's out there in radio land listening, good morning. Good evening, good afternoon, good night. Each and everyone. Mertris may be right, because after that loss there, I did not watch the other game. I went straight to sleep. So she might be right about me not waking up. And, you know, I'm going to say my piece on that when I get to that game there. But let me start off by saying, by giving the soccer fans out there the news of the morning, the shocking news of the morning. Nottingham Forest just knocked off Liverpool 1-0. And that was the first game of the day. Later on, I should have started by now, Man City versus Brighton. It's a 10 o'clock match. Everton versus Crystal Palace. And then later on at 12:30, I have Chelsea versus Manu. Manu need to be starting to win some games, because they're going to be in the top four, then they need to start winning. They won earlier this week, but they still need to be winning more games. Tomorrow, we have Southampton versus Arsenal at 9, and then at 9 also we have Leeds versus Fulham, and then at 11:30 you have Tottenham versus Newcastle. By the way, that Man U win was against Tottenham. They beat them 2-0. Then on Monday, West Ham versus Bournemouth. So that's what is happening in the EPL. And we're going to start with local cricket. This week, you have a slate of matches to be played. And they're all over the state here. So you have Underdog versus U.S. Cricket at Tradewinds. All these matches start at 10 a.m. Challenge versus Florida Tigers at Central Garden General Park, Field 3 and 4. Florida Cricket Academy versus Titan at Miramar North. Coconut Creek versus Miami Chargers at Mack Brown. Sunrisers versus West Palm Beach United at Central Garden General Park, Field 1 and 2. So that's what's happening here locally right now. All the leagues have merged and it's playing a one-off tournament for a possibly merger of all three leagues. So we just have one set of tournaments there. Now to the cricket on the international side. I'm going to say, Cardinal, that the West Indies, and I've been saying it, and I, even for this team that is going down there, the team that was selected, and that including Evan Lewis shouldn't have got selected in the first place because of the disrespect that he showed for this West Indies, the selectors, each and every one. But some people was talking about some yo-yo tests and all of that. They don't believe in that. You got to be fit to play this game. And if the selectors or the West Indies board asks you to do a physical, then you should, because there's a lot of times we're working for employers who said you got to do a physical or you got to take this test and you have to do it. So I don't see what's the difference with West Indies cricket. Evan Lewis has not played for the West Indies in over a year. It's the reason West Indies had to play into this round to qualify. And they did it last year when they went. The Pollard, the Russell, the Narines, the Gale has not represented West Indies. West Indies had to actually fight, I think, to get in. And they went to the World Cup and they showed nothing. Same thing, we took Mr. Lewis there and he shows nothing there. I also think the chairman of the selectors should be throwing in his towel too, because he has no leg to stand on, because he had said one thing but went back on that. The coach is another thing. I've been saying this for the longest. When they picked this coach back up after Cameron got rid of him, they were only trying to spite Cameron. The good old boys club, let's rehire this guy, was not proving nothing as the coaching staff. So for me, the selectors, the entire coaching staff should bear the brunt along with the West Indies board. We should clean everything out and start afresh. There's some talent there, and we should use those talent and develop whatever talent we have there by giving them as much exposure at international level as we can. Saying that, they balled in their last match that they played. They played against Ireland, a must-win game. They only could muster 146 for 5, with Brandon King getting 62, Johnson Charles getting 24, Odin Smith getting 19, and Evan Lewis getting 13, along with Nicholas Perrin. That's another thing that we have the captain. He has not been firing either, so we have another issue there. So I said they 146 for 5 with guard Delaney getting 3 for 16 from four. He was a pick of the bowler there. When they batted, I mean, they raced. They chased down this total with, like, wildfire had broke out over there in Australia. And they were running from it. Paul Sterling getting 66 not out from 48 balls. He had six fours and two sixes. Lachlan Tucker not out on 45 from 35 balls with 2 4 and 2 6s. And skipper Andy Balbirnie, he got 37 from 23. He had 3 sixes and 3 fours. So we had ball to that commission there, and I think that wasn't good. Now we have last night the Super 12 start, and I did not see this game because I probably didn't feel like getting up and watch it. But this game looked like it was a very good game, with New Zealand getting 200 for 3. Wow, score there against the mighty Australians. Batting for New Zealand, Devon Conway hitting 92 from 58. He has 7 4 and 2 6s. Finn Allen getting 42, and Kane Williamson getting 23. With James Neeson getting 26. So those were the main contributor there. Pick of the bowler was Josh Azier with his 4 overs, cost some 41 runs, but he picked up 2 wickets. When Australia batted, they did not fare well at all. They were bundled out for 111. With Glenn Maxwell getting 28. Pat Cummins getting 21. Michelle Marsh getting 16. And Aaron Finch getting 13. So those were the main contributors there, bowling. New Zealand victory was Tim Southee, 2.1 over, 6 runs, and he got 3 wickets. And Mitchell Santner bowled 4 overs of 31 runs and he got 3. Trent Boult 4 overs of 24 runs and he picked up 2 wickets. New Zealand with a resounding win there by some 89 runs against the mighty Australians, because they already had crowned them the winner and has given them the trophy already. But New Zealand is saying, not so fast. We're here. You're going to have to play us. Now, England easily cruised by Afghanistan. Afghanistan could only muster 112. England 113 for 5. The score there in that is not a lot of runs. Ibrahim Sudan got 32 and Usman Ghani getting 30 with 13 from Najibal Sadan and 10 from Ramula Ubaz getting 10. So those were not some good scores there. The pick of the bowler was Sam Curran with 5 for 10 from 3.5 overs. And Ben Stoke 2, 19 from 4, and Marco 2 for 23 from 4. England, as I said, easily chased down that total, even though they lost some 5 wickets. I know they probably didn't want to lose so much wicket in chasing down that mega total. But they got the end with Lionel Livingston getting 29 at all. And Alex Hayes getting 19, David Milan and Josh Butler getting 18. So those were the main contributors with the wickets share amongst 6 bowlers. these people are getting a wicked age. So that's what's happening there in the World Cup. There for today, as I said, most cricket is stopped. A lot of it is World Cup. As you know, the World Cup also, soccer, is just down the road. We have some 30-odd days, I think, we're out. Maybe some 30-odd days out from the World Cup. Last time I checked, we're out a couple of days there, so that's the next big thing coming up there. It's the World Cup of soccer. So Cardinal, that's gonna be it from me there. Taking my break, as I said. I know Marty said rally around West Indies. I'll always rally around West Indies. But when we have mismanagement about the present board, the coaching staff, and the selectors, I think they all let the West Indies down in this trip, and every one of them should be held accountable for that. So, Cardinal, that's it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, David, and David has strong words. Anyway, you can express yourself tomorrow on the cricket show, you know, where there's usually an analysis and opinions about the performance of West Indies cricket. In the meantime, I'm going to say good morning, Donna, who has just joined us. I'm going to, satisfy the fans like Donna and Mertris who insist, and David just reconfirmed, we should continue to rally around the West Indies.
Better known as the
It seems that we are getting a little bit of rain here in St. Croix. So I'm not going to be certain about what's going to happen next. But coming up is our birthday anniversary and historical notes, a reference to those. So anybody who wants to call in at this time and say birthday greetings to anyone, you can do so at this time. But before I get to that, let me say good morning to the special fans of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, those special fans who keep us informed, who keep us, let us know how well we're doing and how well we are not doing, and keep us on the edge of giving you the kind of show that you, well, we think that you will enjoy. You can be a part of that special group, but for now, here are those people. I'm going to go up to New York, where I'm going to say good morning to Donna, Ina, Mertris, and Lady Bob Zinesbik. I understand it's a little bit cool up there, but that's something to be expected. And I know it gets a little uncomfortable at times. But here on the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, we've got sunshine. And you can come on in and join us and share that with us. We're always happy to share it with you. It's only David David is kind of disgusted about hardly coming down and soak up our warmth around this time of year. But don't mind David. He's going to be all right. I'm going to go over to St. Martin. I'm going to say good morning to Irma. She doesn't have any problems with sunshine and warmth because she's a regular attender here on the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. Good morning, Irma. And I'm sure Irma would be happy to share some of that sunshine with the fans up in New York. Good morning, Carlos, all over there in St. Martin. And I want to convey my condolences to the family of Bev Cozier out of Fountain. So the Fountain community, the community in St. Martin where he lived, he lived for years. I want to convey my condolences to all who know him, his family, and his friends. I understand he died a few days ago. So my condolences to the Newcastle Cumbermere community, Cumbermere Camps, Lybert Hill, Westbury, Fountain, Mount Lily, that great community, and even, you know, the Brickhill and Butler's End, because, you know, we kind of get to know each other in that whole area there of St. James. So my condolences to all the family. I'm going to say good morning to the people over in Nevis. Good morning to you, particularly Mr. Renford Doerr and his staff there at 2020 Vision Radio. Particularly to Carmen, Lady C. Griffin, good morning to you. No problems with the cold, huh? You got sunshine and we've got it here to share with you. I'm going to go over to the UK. I wonder how cool it's there. It is there, because I know Omel is quite unhappy. And David, you might be in trouble, because anybody who says Liverpool is not doing so well is not going to like the sound of Omel's voice. But she's going to be cheered up, because she always got the confidence that Liverpool is going to come back. And I'm sure she's not going to want Chelsea to win tomorrow either. But that's the way it is, because, you know, she doesn't want Leon to laugh at her and say Liverpool is down in the dumps and Chelsea is up higher. Good morning, Omel. Good morning to all the fans over there in the UK. I'm going to step across and say good morning to the people in Fort Lauderdale, particularly to Elimat, King Elimat, that is, our own little musical messenger from our part of the world. Hope the brother is doing well. I'm going to say good morning to Marva Jones and my favorite celebrity, Tiffany, a little brother Malik, and little sister Tanaya, enjoying the Saturday Morning Show. Good morning to you. I'm going to go on down to the Southwest, where I'm going to say good morning to Jerome Cutner Richardson, And I'm always wondering if Kuttner is listening to the proceedings where with Findi is concerned, because Kuttner does not have very nice things to say when things like this happen. Good morning, Kuttner. Nevertheless, give us a buzz. Give us your thoughts. I'm going to go on up to Georgia, where I'm going to say good morning to Monique, Barbara, Yvette. Hope that you're having a great day. It's not that cold up there. They had a little bit of cool weather for some time that I understand, but they're enjoying it because they're here enjoying the sunshine of the Saturday morning entertainment show. And I want to spend a special good morning out to my sweet, dear granddaughter, whose birthday is tomorrow. Zion, making 10. Boy, she's going up there fast. Good morning to you, my dear. Hope that you're going to have a special day. Mommy's going to take you there for me. Good morning to you. And good morning to my daughter, Melanie, Zion's mom. Hoping that they are all out and enjoying the day, enjoying the sunshine with us. I'm going to go on up to Melbourne, Florida, where I'm going to say good morning to my dear sister Yvonne, floating around somewhere, hoping that you're having a great time as well. Keeps me smiling always. Good morning to Kathleen, the special fan of the Inspirational Hour. She insists that she is, so I'm going to... And Ivor insists that she is, so I'm going to make it that. Good morning to all fans, friends, supporters of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. Glad to have you. We're here. Call us in if you have a greeting, a birthday, or just want to join the conversation. And coming up now, I've got to give you some information on the things that happened today, October 22nd. Over the years. First, the birthdays out of the West Indies. I should say today is October 22nd, 295th day of 2022. Here are the birthdays, anniversaries, and historical notes sent with the compliments of Mr. Audley Watson. Out of the Caribbean, out of the West Indies, Brenda Rodney, out of Trinidad and Tobago, Neil Smith, a young fast bowler out of Guyana, Nicholson Gordon out of Jamaica. Out of England, Mike Hendrick, Owaya Shah. Out of New Zealand, Richard Jones, Blair Hart. Out of Canada, Zamir Zaheer, Nicholas de Groot. Out of Sri Lanka, Sanath Kulparima. Out of Australia, Lynn Dillon. Out of Luxembourg, Vikram Vij. Out of Oman, LJ Lachelta. Out of Kuwait, Mohammed Karif. Out of Japan, Lachlan Yamamoto. Out of Bahrain, Haider Ali Butt. Today is the birthday of Connie Francis, favorite fan of this show. And that's Leon's niece. You know, we miss Connie a lot, but I know she is always with us. I should say Connie Whitley. I said Connie Francis, right? Shaggy. Oh, Shaggy has a birthday today. Bobby Seale, one of the members, the founding members of the Black Panther Party. His birthday is today. Bobby Seale, along with I'm forgetting names right now. Yeah, I guess that's a little what they call it, senior moment. Yeah. Bobby Seale with Huey Newton. And that guy who wrote, I keep forgetting his name. He later became a congressman, and people begin to suspect him. Okay. Japanese Ichiro Suzuki, a baseball player. Actor Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park. Gospel singer and songwriter Toby Mac. Dominican baseball star Robinson Cano. Deontay Wilder, former WBC World Heavyweight Boxing Champion. Joaquim Chissano, second president of Mozambique. Andre Jacques Ganarin makes the first parachute descent from a balloon in Paris on this date in 1797. In 1827, Sam Houston was inaugurated as the first elected president of the Republic of Texas, assisted the United States in overrunning Mexico. They awarded him by giving him the honorary president of Texas. No wonder why they want to break away and secede. In 1861, the first telegraph line linking the West Coast with the East Coast was completed. In 1870, Thomas Edison perfects a carbonized cotton filament light bulb. And they said that that invention was suspicious. They thought that somebody else did it. But Edison is the big boss, so he takes the credit. You got to get back to the history of that. In 1897, the world's first car dealer opens in London, England. In 1928, China expels all Russian instructors and civil servants. In 1933, the Italian boxer Primo Casera beats Spanish challenger Paulino Usucun on points in Rome, Italy, to return the IBU heavyweight title. In 1934, notorious bank robber Charles Prettyboy Floyd is shot and killed by FBI agents in Liverpool, Ohio. In 1936, the first commercial flight from mainland USA to Hawaii. In 1954, West Germany joins the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. In 1962, Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy orchestrated a blockade of Cuba on suspicion that there were missiles in Cuba, thereby imposing a naval blockade. That was in 1962. In 1963, 225,000 students boycotted Chicago schools in a Freedom Day protest. We don't see that kind of thing nowadays. And you need the same kind of protest based on what's going on. Ian Bradshaw Western Australia versus Victoria in Perth takes all 10 wickets. You remember Ian Bradshaw of West Indies fame? In 1975, Soviet spacecraft. In 1981, U.S. National
joy to each and every time.
I am really sorry about that. We have a little hiccup. I think the rain brought a little bit of disturbance in the... A little bit disturbance in the Wi-Fi connection. So I'm switching over here. Okay, I'm going to continue to give you the greetings and historical notes. That's where I left off. In 1936, the first commercial flight from the mainland USA to the Hawaii. Okay, I passed that already. Okay, now, in 1988, Devil Worship, exposing the underground TV special hosted by Geraldo Rivera, screens on NBC. In 2000, President's Cup Golf, U.S. outclasses international team 21.5 to 10.5 points. In 2008, India launches its first unmanned lunar mission. In 2018, Cameroon's President Paul Biya wins a seventh term in office, extending his 36 years in office, in an election marred by intimidation and low voter turnout. In 2018, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison makes a public apology to the victims of child sexual abuse in institutions. In 2021, Australian city of Melbourne, the world's most lockdown city, exits its sixth lockdown after a total of 260 days. Those are your birthdays, historical events, and notes for today, October 22nd, 2022. Now we'll get right into expecting Dawn and Debbie, our two committed ladies, to the restoration of human welfare, doing their job, a volunteer program that they have called Antigua and Barbuda Care. Until we get to Dawn and Debbie, here is their theme song through which we invite them and explain their work.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world.
Better place for you and for me and
That's one version of Angel from R. Kelly and Celine Dion. That's for my granddaughter who's celebrating a birthday tomorrow. I'm going to give you another Angel, another version of it, and this time by Lionel Richie. Aloha.
I just want to tell you all the things you are and all the things you mean to me. When I find myself believing there's no place to go, when I feel the loneliness inside my the end.
Conversation, something that showed up in World Affairs, and I need to know how many people have thought really seriously about this. Just this week, we heard that Liz Truss, the British Prime Minister, who was installed 46 days before, has announced her resignation. Do you know that this is the fifth prime minister since the British instituted Brexit or the exit from the European community? Now, in addition to this,
then monarchy appears to be in tatters, especially after the death of its longest reigning monarch. I'm wondering, has London Bridge finally collapsed? Is this some kind of a karma? Can it be put back together again? Who's going to bear the brunt of its repair? Remember the first time around, African people and others around the Caribbean, and other people around the Caribbean and the world, people in India, Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, those are the people who bore the brunt of its construction. Now it's collapsed and it had to be rebuilt or repaired or restored. Who's going to bear the brunt of this repair? Curious. Anybody has any thoughts? David, what about you? Oh man, no, I can't get anybody. Shoot. Where's anybody? Well, I guess it's all part of what Bonnie Wheeler has predicted for us before, or outlined for us before. Come on and hear this.
Over three.
Yeah, Bonnie Wheeler called it about a ration in a Jamaica jamdong, as he says. But we got some moderation over that I just talked about. We got some moderation over in Britain as well. The Great Britain, the little country that established an empire upon which the sun never set. No, it's in turmoil. I wonder what Murtris thinks about this. Come on, Murtris, tell me.
Well, let me see. I could say I admire the Prime Minister in a sense that she said she promised them to do what she can, and as she entered, she realized that she couldn't fulfill the promise. So instead of prolonging the inevitable, she just gave up and resigned. So kudos to her, because many of those who politicians goes in the end, they know to a fact they can't do the work. They're not going to get the help from who they think they would get the help from, and they just continue and just carry it right through. But at least she gives them a chance to revamp, start over, and clear the head and whatever, to put in a new perspective on the whole situation. That's all I could say.
You're saying she didn't behave like a politician this time?
No, she asked me to do something for you, and I said, okay, I'm going to try my best to do it. And when I start the process and I find that I cannot accomplish it, it's best I come back to you and let you know that this is the situation and I cannot handle it, or I cannot perform what I said I would do. So you try and get somebody else who can do the job, or who believe they can do the job, and just give you goodbyes. Because if she stand there and then carry on as if fooling the people, what sense does that make? Because it won't be moving ahead. You just stay stuck,
what? But isn't that what politicians do normally?
Yeah, because one, they want the money, they want the power, and they don't care about the people. They get in. That's what they went in there for, you know. They fool us, telling us that they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they know to a fact, maybe because they don't have the counts or the heads or the majority of the people, so they can't get it done. But that doesn't bother them. As long as they're there, they get in. They say, they do, they come out, make meetings and tell us what they want us to hear, what they think we want to hear, and then go back and do what they feel like. So that doesn't make no sense. So kudos to her.
I wonder if there's anyone else who wants to make a comment on that. Well, I wonder with Donna. Let me see if Donna wants to comment on the Prime Minister. Donna, are you listening? Come on in. But you know, Britain has had. Is Donna coming in? Britain has had five prime ministers in a pretty short time, and this one just lasting 46 days, as it is come to that this time. Is this any indication that Britain, as I call it, London Bridge has finally collapsed?
No,
you
can't.
Remember,
I don't think we should give up on London so quick.
We shouldn't give up on London.
Yeah, that
but
just made a little correction.
Oh, yeah. But hasn't London given up on itself? Has London given up on itself? I guess that's a good question to ask. Because, in addition to that, the monarchy, as we have looked at it over the couple of weeks, the monarchy is in trouble. They have all kind of conflicts, which they are attempting to keep under the rug. I would describe it that way. Now we have a situation where you cannot keep a leader in place long enough
you know, are one of the more important leaders in place long enough to effect any kind of program or anything. So is this coming to a head? Is this about London Bridge falling down?
Well, you know, there's a lot of changes, and the biggest one is the monarchy. So we got to wait and see what's there, because the son is a whole different scenario to the queen herself. Because even when she was alive, he had a different prospect of how he's going to run the country. That's why the queen put in certain things, so that at least whatever she left there, she wouldn't mess up her legacy, because she knew he had a different opinion to her. So now we just got to wait and see what his actions are going to be like. Who knows, maybe that's part of why the prime minister resigned, because, you know, communication was not going through, you know, the way how she thought it would be going through. So they're in a turmoil especially since they left the breakaway from the European pool. Yeah, so maybe, who knows, really, maybe that's the downfall of London Bridge here too. But
maybe
you gotta keep hope alive.
But when London Bridge was first established, African people and people, other indigenous peoples all around the world, Australia, India, in the Caribbean, Asia, those were the people who bore the brunt for the construction of London's bridge. If they decide to rebuild it, we bore the brunt of the assault for the erection of London Bridge. So let's suppose that they decided that they're going to build it. We got a courageous prime minister who decides that he's going to rebuild it. Should we be concerned, the people who have been previously devastated by initial construction, should we be concerned about how they're going to build it back?
It should be. And then again, the way how they've been treating the people who've been holding up them from day one,
mm-hmm.
in these past few years, who knows if they're going to give them any thought about helping, because I've been looking after you all my days of my life. My forefathers did the thing, and now you come under the ancestors, their children, a bad deal, because now they're not looking after them. They're sending them back to the different countries. So who's left?
Mm-hmm.
The people of that country, they're not, they don't want their hand that dirty. So who's going to help? You know, they got to think about that.
But I'm asking, suppose that they decided they're going to rebuild it without asking for our help, but demanding and requiring our contribution as they did the first time around. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
This, you know, the last time we built it, they didn't ask for help. They coerced it. They ordered it at the point of a sword or the point of at the nozzle of a gun. They ordered us to build London Bridge. Is it possible that they probably try the same thing again?
I don't know. Even if they try the same thing, some might help, because, you know, they can't do no better. They ain't thinking no better. Those who are thinking and say, "Who? Not me. I'm not going back to you." So,
okay,
30% will help, and the others decide, "Okay, I'm not going to put my eggs in their basket anymore." So.
But for those of us who decided that I'm not having anything to do with that, I'm not going to help, that's your business. For those of us who take that position, the guns come out, the swords come out, the weapons come out, and they say you either do it or you die. I mean, that's the way they did it the first time around, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any chance that they might do it again? That's the question I'm asking.
Hello, Carolina.
Should we? Oh, Lynette is joining us.
How are you?
Good morning, Lynette.
Glad you come to help rescue.
Morning. Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Yes, I just got in.
But
I've been listening.
What? Marcus and I were here discussing, and we invite anybody else who want to have a say to come in and discuss what's going on in Britain with respect to have a conversation what's going on in Britain with respect to the recently installed Prime Minister having submitted her resignation in 46 days. So I'm kind of inquiring whether or not this is a sign that London Bridge has finally collapsed. You just got out of there. So what can you tell us? Lynette.
Well, I wouldn't use an harsh word, collapsed. I would say it's
okay.
Not a problem, but they should be able to talk their way out. It's a huge country. So I expect them to sort themselves out, isn't it?
Well, here's the question I posed to Murchis. I said, you know, the first when London Bridge was constructed, the people who provided the energy and resources for its construction are the people out of Australia, the Caribbean,
uh-huh.
Asia, Africa, and so on. So if it has collapsed. And they decide to reconstruct it. Should we be concerned? Are we in any danger? Are they going to come back and say, "Well, you constructed it the first time, and we want to do it the same way again"? Should we be concerned with respect to that?
Not really, to me.
Not really.
For the country, they have to start their way out.
They got to start their way out. But here's the problem, though.
Yes.
Here's the question. The first time that they sought their way out, we bore the brunt of the assault through which they sought their way out. I'm asking it if we are likely to be subjected to the same assault again. Is it possible?
Never could tell because
okay.
Trump is work, isn't it?
Marcus was saying that, well, some people might want to help, but for those who want to help, fine. But what about those of us who say, I'm not contributing anything to the restoration, to its restoration, let it collapse. But that's the point at which the guns will come out and say, whether you want to...
I'm going to say, no, that's what it is.
Huh?
They're in
their right to tell us that we got to order us to help us build back the bridge.
Yes.
No,
really?
Why
no,
you
we
say?
Are in our right to say we don't want to help.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying at that point, that's when the guns and the swords and the weapons come out and say, we don't care whether you want to do it or not, you got to do it. Or else, what's the possibility? What's the likelihood of
well,
that happening?
Well, we anyway, because we independent. The state is independent,
We were independent when it happened the first time as well. As a matter of fact, we were more independent at the first time that it happened. So now that it collapsed and they don't know what else to do, and if they don't know what else to do to rebuild it on their own, and they come for us again to build it, what is the likelihood of that?
Well, that's a tough one.
A tough one?
Depends on what's happening.
Depends on what's happening now?
Even if the gun comes out, they're going to rebuild. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to rebuild. And if they had to shed some blood, it might happen, but at the same time, there's still people who are not going to put themselves up for that. They're going to fight them back, you know. They're not going to stand up for that for no crap from them the way they had to. That time, they had more power under, and they had us more under control then. They don't have under control anymore. So control is the key. The power is the key. You have the power. So.
But do we have the power to defend ourselves if they attempt to do it to us again?
You know, when you think about it, we do have the power, but we don't enforce our power. So that's why they're going to argue.
But if we don't have the power, if we can't enforce the power, what's the point of having it? Then we don't have it.
Well, I have no idea because we do have the power, but we're not using it. Not enforcing it, so we will always be down.
All right. Okay. Look. In the context of that, you know, let's Barrow talk to us a little bit about what he said. So I was talking. So I was going to make a comment as the one of the most celebrated victims of the order that was established by Europeans around the world. That is Nelson Mandela. His mighty sparrow, no apology.
I am Nelson Mandela, freedom fighter, liberator of my people in South Africa. Then so be it, Mr. Cocker. I owe no apology. Interviewing Nelson Mandela on a TV show. Ted Koppel was the interviewer. I want you to know. He wanted Mandela to condemn Muammar Gaddafi, Fidel Castro, Yasser Arafat, right there on TV. Mandela said these people helped me when apartheid was on the rise. Suffering, but chains of bondage have been placed on my head to impede my progress. Thorns and thistles have been laid on my head to curtail my rest. I've been tortured and suffered immensely. They isolate me, incarcerate me, still in spite and color,
it is part of me.
I'm wearing it bravely with honor.
I am dignity.
How can I say sorry for a birthright made proud by my forefathers? A skin that bends to the darkness of night yet distinguishes me from others. There were times I knew because of it tears of sorrow had filled my eyes, but the Lord made me free in spirit and I do not apologize.
You're here.
Scratch your head and continue complaining that
chains of bondage have been placed on my head
to impede my progress.
Come, let's go.
And then he said,
thorns and thistles have been laid on my head
to curtail my rest. They subject me to gross inhumanity,
brutality, hostility.
But no matter how rough their tattered feet,
how
emotionally. I have done no wrong, and what I have endured physically have made me more strong. How could I be ashamed of a mind that refuses to be twisted? A heart as warm as the morning sunshine, a character so gifted. With these trials and tribulations, I am fulfilling destiny in my quest for emancipation. I owe no apology. You hear? Go sit down, they finish joke I'm making. Chains of bondage have been placed on my head to impede my progress. Now then he said, thorns and thistles have been laid on my head to curtail my rest. I've had my share of pain and misery. It was ghastly. They try hard, but they fail miserably. Cause I never apologize for my identity.
Thank you. Thank you.
From a culture, boys who survive. The folklore of all my ancestors makes me feel sublime. I am not repentant, but for music that expresses how I feel. These sweet melodies come from deep in my soul, enriching all my ideals. You say the rhythm does give me courage, and the lyrics does make me wise. So in spite of all the advantage, I do not apologize.
You hear?
Suffering, but
chains of bondage have been placed on my head
to impede my progress. And then he said,
thorns and thistles have been laid on my head
to curtail my rest. Their exercise is worrying futility.
That's when they gave me psychotherapy.
But they surrendered while I am shouting victory.
Cause I never apologize for my identity.
And that's the way it is. Have I paralyzed you, Mr. Cobble?
The conversation continues with the topic of a similar, of a, along the same lines. Now, this year, in five states, namely Vermont, Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, and Oregon, there is about to be a ballot challenge to the 13th Amendment's preservation of slavery in the prison system. Now, this is just being done. This is not, that is not calling for an amendment of the Constitution, of the 13th Amendment. I'm getting some background noises here. Okay, it's gone. Now, this is just is being done at the level of the state constitution. Okay, why the 13th Amendment? And now, there are a lot of people who were taught and who continue to believe that the 13th Amendment ended slavery. The 13th Amendment codified or gave the end of slavery a constitutional foundation. So it gave the Emancipation Proclamations a kind of constitutional foundation. So the 13th Amendment was there saying that slavery shall be abolished, but there's an exception. And the exception was that if you're in prison. Now, the administrators of industry have used that exception to create the prison industrial system, you know, where, let me give you a kind of a figure, where something to the tune of, there are approximately 1.2 million people incarcerated in state and federal prisons today. About 800,000 of them are forced to work, forced labor, the same elements of, one of the same elements of slavery as it was as existed before. And this is not unconstitutional because the Constitution says, yeah, you can do it. But the captains of industry have used this exception in the 13th Amendment and created this slave prison industrial complex. Okay? There are now a lot of private prisons that do just that. So about 800 people are forced into labor and generate about $11 billion annually. In the meantime, these individuals who are on the prison work detail, they get paid like 2 cents per day, $1 per day, you know, and so on. So that generates a lot of money for already rich people. And like I say, the Constitution, the United States Constitution says there's nothing wrong with that. But still we say slavery and involuntary servitude has been abolished by the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, on the ballot this year, a couple of states, and I name them for you, Vermont, Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, and Oregon this year, about 2 years ago, four years ago, Colorado did the same thing, and 2 years later, that's in 2020, Nebraska and Utah did the same thing. But like I say, this is on the state level. This is not on the federal level. So the Constitution continues to permit the enslavement of people if you can get them convicted in a court. And we know how that has worked out for black people. Okay? It's easy to get the conviction of a black man. So a lot of our people, you know, who are over 60% of the prison system, even though we are only 13% of the population, are serving under these conditions. Now, this ballot in these states are saying we're going to take it out of our state system. Now, I'm asking a couple of questions here. My presenters, Motris and Lynette, I'm going to invite you to comment on this. My question is, they're going to do it by the ballot. They're asking people to run a referendum to say, should we stop it in our state? Is a ballot challenge sufficient? That's my first question. Go ahead, Marcus, tell me. Do you think that a ballot challenge to slavery is sufficient?
Well, that's above my pay grade, but the thing is that the state need to get first in of the law. The law is key to all of this, man, but they have a technical change of things as well. So if the laws are not being changed, there lies the problem. but I should have more than just that. The ballot isn't sufficient enough. We need to something else. Dominating the whole system of the grid, especially with the black vote. We're not interested in the black vote. If the black people don't vote, that's good for them. Their situation is better because they can do away with what they've got with the white people. So if I put myself in any trouble with that any further, I'm just going to leave it there because don't believe in it, and that's a point. Because I don't want to get beat in politics and then they say, I think something that, you know.
This is something that is uncomfortable.
I'm not comfortable. So, I like the laws need changing.
Okay. But if you speak your truth, should you be concerned about whether someone else is uncomfortable with it? Lynette, what do you say?
The
people in the different states. This is not like I say.
In the different states. In the different states. People.
This. Right, they're saying that we're going to take it out of us.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Go on.
I don't have a problem with that. Take it to the people and let the people decide it.
But should it come down to that? Should it come down to a referendum? Should the consent of the leadership of the state say, no, we're going to take it out of our constitution? Should they have the courage, the kahunas, the Spanish says it, the cojones, to say, should our leaders in the various states have the courage to say, we're going to take it out. We don't need a referendum for this. It's wrong, and we're going to take it out. Could they have the courage to say that? Do we need a ballot? And even if we do get a ballot, is the ballot sufficient?
Well, it's a start. It's a start in the right direction. The people should decide. So at the end of the day, they should decide whether they want to be here or there, or they want to do this, or they want to do that. It should be the people.
So you think people got individuals or people should have the right to decide whether they're going to enslave another people or not?
Yeah, because a lot of times the politicians make decisions for us, and it's a no-no. It's a big joke.
So you?
This is there to me. Like they just go along with what's happening in the media. They're not thinking, you know, deep down, or we do the affect the people. So if the people
are
going to make the decision, I think that's the way to go. I prefer that.
Well, that the people make the decision.
Okay, can you
hear that?
Can you?
Okay.
What happened in the last election? Did the people go out and vote? I'm losing you a little bit, Marjorie.
Yeah, she's choppy.
They believe. The voice. I don't know.
Okay. That's gone. So I wasn't hearing you clearly, Marcus. I'm saying
okay,
I was asking.
You don't think the people are the one who should make that decision? This is going to affect them?
I know it's going to affect them, but the question I'm asking, should you have to go to the people to decide, do the people have a right to say whether or not they're going to enslave people? Do anybody has the right to say whether or not they want to enslave people?
Everybody got
because
that
right.
That's why they have votes. So you go up and you say, I don't want that or I don't want this. But that's their right. And when you take away their right, but what's left?
But I'm asking, do anybody have the right to say, the question I'm asking is, does anybody have the right to say whether or not they could enslave somebody else?
If they could, enslave somebody else?
Yes.
Nobody should enslave nobody, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
They don't have that.
So then why would you have to... Okay, sorry.
These politicians have a right to enslave. But I'm not... That. That's just an inspection, whether or not if the politicians have the right to say that they're going to enslave through the voting session. That's what you're trying to say?
No, I'm asking whether anybody has the right. So if the politicians decided, if the leaders of the state decided, we're going to eliminate from our state, our state constitution, the provisions which allow people to enslave others. We're going to completely wipe that off. Do they have to go to the people to say whether or not?
If they have the laws that will help them do that, but they don't have the right to nobody. My point. And if you take that out of the for it to go with enforce the law.
But
you don't
at
have
this point,
the people, if you don't have the law, to go to the people and let them decide whether or not they don't want to save or they want to split. At the end of the day, it's the people you need to help you to make those laws. I don't know. And if they want to, well, hey, let it go, let it be.
So
I don't know if I answered
your question. You saying the people have a right to decide whether they want to be slaves or not?
They have a right to know what they want to be slaves or not. Whatever state you're living in, you have to know if you slave or don't want to.
Okay. Now, as it stands, you have the state or any even private institution has a right to your involuntary labor and servitude upon a sentence of conviction. If you are declared guilty of a criminal offense, from that point on, you can be legally subjected to slavery. That's what I'm saying. And
it is
not only a provision in the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States that most people believe abolish slavery. It's also a provision of a lot of the statutes in a lot of the constitution of the different states. Now, the
somebody make it.
I wonder that
But thy people from Israel, and a thy people from Israel. Who are the Canada, you're going to keep on seeing the name Israel, Israel, Israel. And for years, ever since slavery, no one, since we've been going to all these churches, no one ever told other people that that's the name of your nation in the Bible. Before you were born, Africa, before you were born, America, before you were born, Australia, all of us from churches from America, we were told to do that it wasn't always born.
Is that a mute? That voice.
I don't know. I don't know where that was coming from. Okay.
Anyway, the states in America, each state has their own
constitution. That one.
Okay. It's not a federal case. It's a statewide. Each state have their own thing.
Yes.
So, if they want, if a state wants to get rid of that, and they have the law behind it to get rid of that, but at least put it to the people, for the people know what they are getting into. When I vote into, I'm going to enslave me because the law is that. So they vote and they overwhelmingly know they want to be slaves. Well, that's what they have to do. That's how I'm going to be able to do anything about that. Then they will have to if the law is there and force the law to asking, but that's the whole thing. If I'm understanding what you ask.
Okay. Well, as you presented to me, you're saying it's a legal you give it its legal dimensions. The people have the right to say whether a certain law should be implemented in their state. That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
Okay. The next, I guess, the corollary to that is that even if the people have a right to say what law is implemented in the state, do they have a right to say that a law can be implemented that legalizes slavery? Do they have that right?
Who would want having slavery legalized?
Well,
nobody.
That's what the Constitution say right now, including the federal Constitution. It says you can enslave someone as long as you have found them guilty of a criminal offense. So it's just a modification of the original form of slavery.
Yes,
now,
Constitution need that. Definitely need to change that. You know, I commit a crime and I get caught, punish me by putting me in jail and whatever it is in jail, you have time, but don't come and tell me while I'm in jail, you're going to...
Yes, well, that's exactly what's happening.
I that's it. And
exactly.
Then, and
that
then again, do you know that a person who's been convicted, they cannot vote?
Exactly.
So they're in line. Yeah, that constitution they need to more. You can't just enslave somebody. These are not the colonial old time days when they just take over.
Well, Marcus, they can and they have and they are enslaving people. Like I just indicated, the prison slave system generates $11 billion annually, and none of it goes to taking care of those who provide the labor to produce that kind of resource. Okay, the like you mentioned, when you are convicted in some states, you can no longer vote. That is another element of slavery, and they know that. Nevertheless, it is being enforced. So we are saying that while people are shouting about democracy and how they got the right to vote because of democracy and how the democracy is the instrument of their liberty, they're saying under the same democracy, we can enslave people. We have the legal right to do so, and we have the legal provision that gives us the authority to do so. So the moment someone is imposed with a criminal conviction, that person is eligible to be a slave and be forced into free, involuntary servitude and free labor. Same like in the old days. And it happens, like I say, it's happening to the day to the tune of $11 billion annually to those who profit from that system. And that's why Bonnie Wheeler... Okay, go ahead, Marjorie.
I said that's why that law needs to be that's what needs to be done for that is we have humans who can't be saving us because of a mistake we made and then what happened.
That law needs to be changed, and so does the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. The amendment needs an amendment.
Yep.
Because that's the loophole that they lose to say, well, what we're doing here is not wrong, because the Constitution of the United States has sanctioned it, has approved it. So let me go to the last bit of our program here. Let's start off to Bonnie Wheeler. Let's see what we got to say. He's talking about battering sentence.
Bye.
Getting close to that hour when we're going to say so long for the show, the Saturday morning entertainment show brought to you today, October 22nd. Let me show my appreciation to all the people who came in. David, Leon, Mertris, Lynette, and offered their thoughts and to compliment this show. It's always a beautiful moment to spend the time with our fans, friends, and supporters of the Saturday morning entertainment show brought to you by Caribbean Global Voices.